Okay, we've got our third SHAC meeting for this school year on March the 2nd, 2023. And Andrea Brown's present, Isella Palmer's present, and the other members are absent. Heather Redder, Danielle Stovall, and Sandra Thompson. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the COVID cases, and just to notify and let everybody know that we've had 6 cases since our last SHAC meeting in December, and right now, currently, we have 1 COVID case right now. We really haven't had much, and they really haven't been very severe either, the ones that we've had. But we still have to keep up with them. We still have to notify the state about them and do reports every week. And next thing is immunizations. And Isella, how's elementary? Y'all good on?
Just the ones that have that exemption. But they started the shots.
Right. But if they have the exemption, then they're good. Yes. Other than they're trying to get the other ones caught up.
And we had a couple come in, new students, and they have started the series.
Okay.
So for like hepatitis A.
Right.
And hepatitis B. They were just waiting on the second one.
Yes, yeah.
And third one.
But if they're not time to get it, then they're good too. So in middle schools, we're all good 100%. High school's at 100% right now. I know we have one coming up in April that'll be due for it. They need to get their exemption form redone. And we'll have to, when we submitted a report to the Texas Department of State Health Services on December the 6th, we have to do that yearly, a yearly report on our immunization status. And we're going to continue with the requiring the vaccinations to be all caught up in order to register at the registration fair. This usually only affects mainly like pre-K, kindergarten, and seventh graders, or like maybe new students. Mostly everybody else it's not going to really affect, but I think that really helps on getting everybody's immunizations done. And we really didn't have any issues, I don't think, last year. I didn't know if people were going to be upset about it, but pretty much everybody had what they were supposed to have, and if they didn't, they went and got them and came back. So I think that really helped on getting everything done in a timely manner. Screenings, each year we're required to do certain health screenings. We did those on December 13th, 14th, and 15th. We do hearing, vision, and acanthosis screenings on all pre-K, kindergarten, first, third, fifth, and seventh grade, and then all new students to the district. Spinal screenings on fifth and seventh grade girls and eighth grade boys. And we do these yearly. And after we do these, we'll refer the ones that fail the screening and then follow up on those that didn't pass their screenings. We'll follow up with the parents to find out, did they go to the doctor? Did they get treatment? Did they get glasses? Or, you know, whatever the case may be, because we have to do reports on that also. That's usually due like in June, So we'll do a yearly report on that also. AEDs, we had talked about getting those Philips HeartSmart on-site models, and those we've really had trouble trying to get those. They kept saying, we're going to be able to get them this past summer, and then the summer came, and then we couldn't get them, and then they said, okay, well, maybe by the end of the year, December, and we couldn't get them, and then, well, now they're saying they're not sure. It may be between April and June, and I know there's been trouble with the FDA, and there's been some recalls and whatnot, so we've just decided to go a different direction with a different model, and we're looking at the HeartSign Samaritan. It's a very small, lightweight, and very simple to use AED, so we're going that direction. Those were a little more expensive than the other ones, and plus we had to get an extra one that we didn't plan for the time before, because we're going to put one in the our police chief's vehicle. He needs to be carrying one also, and so that was going to make the cost of all this be a little bit more expensive. So we went back to the school board this last meeting, and they approved some additional funds in order to pay for the increase in cost and also the extra AED. And I've already put that order in, and the vendor contacted me today and said probably maybe by 4 weeks we might get them in. So hopefully it's not going to be longer than that. But anyways, that's going to bring our total AEDs to 17 in the district. we're going to have 16 new ones and one at the elementary that's one of our older ones, but it's not old. It's just, you know, not one of these new ones. We're going to keep it because there's nothing wrong with it. It was purchased in 2018, and then we'll replace it to match all the rest, you know, at a later date. Okay, Narcan, that policy was approved by the school board. We had to have that approved. Just like epinephrine, there's a policy on that as far as school-provided medications, because normally school can't provide medication for students. The parents have to provide it, you know, with permission, assigned permission from the parent. But there's an exception to that with the epinephrine that we keep here that's an unassigned medication, and we'll do the Narcan the same way. It'll be treated the same. We don't need a prescription for it, but we do need to get a standing order. It's just like with the EpiPens in order to administer it as needed. But we can do that at the beginning of the year just like we do with the EpiPen and everything else. We'll be able to purchase that from pharmacies as long as they've taken that one-hour course. They can dispense that Narcan even without a prescription. It's not that expensive from what I've looked at, between $45 and $65 for a two-dose box. And we would order one box for each campus and one for the SRO and one for the trainer. So five total, and that cost would be between $225 and $325 as far as from the cost that I checked, you know, a week or so ago. Which that it kind of changes here and there, but it should be somewhere around that neighborhood. And we'll need to add this information to the student handbook, because there's information in there about the EpiPens, and so we'll add that to the student handbook for next year. And also we would get employees would be trained on that at the beginning of the year, along with whenever they do CPR and EpiPens. We would also have training on the Narcan as far as how to administer it and when to administer it. It should be very simple. The ones I've seen are the nasal mists, and you're not even having to give an injection or anything. So that should be very simple to administer. It's just a matter of knowing when to administer it. And we would come up with a kind of a standard as far as, you know, the kind of symptoms the student's exhibiting and, if you know, when you would give it. Should not be subject to any criminal liability. From what I've read, it says that if you're acting in good faith with reasonable suspicion when administering it, that you should be not subject to any criminal liability. And also, if you do give to somebody who doesn't need it, there's not like really any side effects or anything that a person should have. So if you did give it to somebody who didn't need it, it shouldn't hurt anything. Okay, so we'll work on that standard, the written standard, and also the addition to the student handbook for next year. Okay, next thing, we were talking about the LifeVac anti-choking device. Did you send me that email, or was that Jamie that sent
Mitchell.
Me?
Mitchell.
Okay, yes, I can't remember. It sent me that email with the video on there about that LifeVac. I don't know. Have you seen that?
Not in person, but no. I've seen the video.
Yeah, me too. I just saw the video. But it looks very simple to use, and it looks like it would be very helpful, you know, if you were ever in that situation to need it. And so I looked at the cost of that. I didn't write that down, but I don't think it was that much money. So I was looking at that. Maybe we could get one for each of our emergency kits, like everywhere we have an AED, to just have one there with it too. To be able to, and then also train at the beginning of the year in order to use this too. But it looks very simple to use.
But we don't have to have like a order or anything for that?
No, don't have to have any order or anything like that. I mean, no, it's, like I said, real easy to use. And I mean, just like, we have one of our members that came, Sandra. Sandra's now here. We're talking about the LifeVac anti-choking devices. We were looking at, Miss Mitchell sent me a video on that, and it's a device that you can use, like if somebody's choking, that you put all over their mouth, and it just like, somehow it just sucks out whatever.
I've seen those.
Yeah.
I've seen.
It looks very easy to use and very effective, so
right.
We were talking about getting those for next year, maybe trying to get one for each of our emergency kits, you know, like with our AEDs, and keep them there. Uh-huh. And then also have training at the beginning of the year at the same time whenever we do CPR, AED wow. training, and that sort of thing. So we're going to be looking at that. And Mrs. Foreman was talking about they wanted to do a new program for teen dating violence. And I know last year we looked at a different program, but they're wanting to use something different, which is that's what this is that you're looking at there.
Okay.
And they're wanting to look at it, for one thing, because it's less expensive. I think they're doing it through some kind of a grant, and so they're not going to have to pay other than paying for the mileage.
Oh, that's...
So, and she marked out some of the topics and stuff that they're not going to be talking about, and they're probably going to even narrow it down even a little more, but this is just kind of give you an idea of, you know, what kind of program this is. And, of course, they'd have to have parent permission. They're not going to have kids in there that, you know, parents didn't give permission. And it's not like if the parent didn't turn it in, they're going to just put them in there. They have to get a permission
to attend.
So it's an opt-in thing. If you didn't turn in your form, then you're not going to go. And then they'll also have parent meetings, you know, for the parents to hear about this program and to ask any questions and that sort of thing. So they're not going to, you know, just show this or talk about any of these things to students if the parents, you know, are not wanting to their kid to hear about this. And I guess that's about it. I just wanted to show y'all that, and she's wanting to present this to the board at their board meeting in April, and that meeting is on the 24th, April 24th, so we would probably need to meet before that in order to recommend this program so that the board can approve it. And so I was kind of looking at maybe having the next meeting on April, what did I say, the 18th possibly. It's kind of sooner than I really wanted, but
we'll get it over with.
Yeah, we can get it over with, it'll be done, and it'll be our fourth meeting, and hopefully that'll be all. There won't be anything. Hopefully after that, they'll say, oh, we need y'all to meet for
one more meeting.
April the 18th, you say?
Yes, April the 18th. Yep. And I don't have anything else, so.
Well, nice to get here. Mm-hmm. Right at the end of it.
So.
I'm sorry. I just.
12 and a half minutes later, we're adjourning.